Welcome to Girls with Dogs, a podcast by two dear friends who bonded over their love of dogs and blogging. We used to have these chats each week, and now we record them for you. Thanks for joining us this week, and now on to the madness. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of Girls with Dogs. My name is Kimberly. I am the blogger behind Keep the Tail Wagging, and I'm here with my dear, dear friend, Kathy, the blogger behind Groovy Golden Doodles, and we are Girls with Dogs.
How you doing, Kathy? On a Wednesday night after dark. What you drinking?
What do you think I'm drinking? I mean, honestly, I'm drinking some version of moonshine. This time, it's my apple pie moonshine with lemonade.
Thanks. Okay.
I went to the local store.
There is a distillery. Actually, I know the couple who owns the distillery, and I love the apple pie moonshine. It is delicious. And once a month in that town, they have, I don't know what it's called, but at the first Saturday of the month, all the businesses offer 20% off. And so I go and buy myself a new bottle, because I never want to run out. And I've been saving the bottles all this time. So I have, only four bottles of empty bottles of moonshine.
And now I know why you're friends.
And I ran into my friend. Yeah, I ran into him like last week and was like, do you guys recycle these bottles? Because they're nice, thick bottles. So I don't want to throw them away. And I was trying to think of some, like maybe turn them into vases or something. Yeah. He was like, and he said the cost of bottles has gone up, that he was like, yeah, we will take those back. So they're going to give me a discount on some more. So I'm going back this weekend to drop off my bottle so I can get some more moonshine. So anyway, long story short, yum.
Cheers.
Okay. Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
What are you drinking, Kathy?
What am I drinking?
Wine. Yeah.
Well, why do you make it sound like it's so boring? This is a new wine. It's called Ménage à Trois.
Is it really?
Yes. Yes. It's Ménage à Trois.
Not that.
What? Silk. So it's like a smooth red blend. It's a good Wednesday night wine.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm calling it.
I just moved my foot and kicked a dog.
Listen, the wine is not what's happening. I want y'all to know, if you see me grin when there's nothing to grin about, I am having a party under my desk. For $20, I bought one of these office footstool things that are slanted, and they got little balls on them.
Ooh,
and then
nice.
They got these roller things. And I mean, my feet are doing a line dance like you would not believe. They are at the club. It feels so good, you know, after you take your shoes off. So
I thought you were going to say,
I'm just
Jack's
having a party.
Yes.
All right. So let's get back.
Me is my dog. I just want to say Apollo is beneath me. Usually it's Bella, but this time it's Apollo.
Okay. All right. So now exactly. Let's pivot. We're going to pivot.
Pivoting. Okay. Yes. I'm going pivoting. With you.
So I'm happy to introduce Lisa and J.D. McNair. And are you ready? 1, 2, 3, Kimberly. Peggy, Eileen.
Is it kind?
As our guest. Hey, Peggy. Hello, lovey.
She did, hello. Did she not look at the camera, she too? Look at her.
She'll watch.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Peggy.
Daddy.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, I am in love. I am in love.
So I met Lisa first. And how I met Lisa is she used to work at the in one of the ICU units in the hospital. And this is really a true story. You can watch Lisa's face. She's about to grin right now. Mm-hmm. And I came up there with Jax one day, and she asked me to bring Jax over to a patient. The patient had just had surgery, and they were keeping her much longer than they should because they couldn't get her blood pressure down and her heart rate down. And so I took Jax over there, and Jax spent some time with her. And immediately it was crazy just to watch those numbers start to cascade. And after about 30 minutes, she was good to leave. Yep. So that was Lisa and Jackson's like first love affair. Now that love affair changed drastically because one day I brought Jackson in And I don't know what possessed Lisa to do this, but she dropped to the floor, Kimberly, on all fours and crawled to Jackson. Jackson hauled ass down the hall. He was so scared of her. But they were able to mend their ways, and so they have this really special relationship. So she's watched from the clinical side what the therapy dogs have been able to do for patients as well as care team members. And when her dogs had a litter of pups, she said, I have this dog, and the dog was born with three legs, but she is so stinking sweet. I really want to work with her, keep her, and then let her be a therapy dog in the program. And I said, I would love that. So fast forward, Peggy becomes a year old. She gets certified and she actually volunteers with both of them. So JD has her in the adult hospital and Lisa takes her to the children's hospital. And I've watched her in the children's hospital and it's just amazing because I think just seeing her get out of her stroller, it gives the kids such a sense of I can do this too. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, whatever I'm in here for is not that it's not that difficult where I can't persevere and try to be like Peggy. And I think JD sees that even with the adults. So with March the 3rd being National Tripod Day, I thought it would be phenomenal to bring them on and let them tell Peggy's story, what made them think that this would be a good thing for Peggy, how in the world they trained Peggy to be who she is, and then some of the experiences that she's had in the hospital that they've been able to witness. And then, Kimberly, I'm going to sit back and sip my wine and let you ask all the questions.
Well, you answered my first question because I wasn't sure if she was born that way or if she had an amputation. So she was born with three legs.
She was. Yes.
And so does that happen often? Do you know?
I think it's more common than we thought it was after having one and talking to people. A lot of people have tripods and they love them. They think some people, you know, a lot of people say that's the best dog they've ever had. She's definitely the most loving of all our golden retrievers. We have three. We have her mom, and then we have a 9-year-old male. And they're all very loving, like golden retrievers always are, but she's the most loving by far.
Yes. Yes.
She just stares in her eyes with that love.
Yeah. I have a golden husky mix. I'm petting him right now because since I'm talking, I must be talking to him. So he's sitting here. And before we started recording, Kathy mentioned something about the shedding when it comes to goldens. And I was like, try having a golden husky mix. He's like, you do not escape the shedding. But, you know, one of the things that I've known, because I don't know many tripods, but, you know, Kathy and I in the blogging world, there was a blogger, and I don't remember the name of her blog, but she had a tripod. And so I think she was either a member of a tripod community or started one. But basically, the dogs adapt. And I think that's something that people are so surprised about, is that the dogs adapt. But okay, so my first question is, which leg? Is it front or back?
It's our front left leg.
Okay. And so is there anything she can't do?
No, there really isn't. I mean, she'll get tired quicker. Mm-hmm. But when she does, she just lays down. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have the stroller, and that we just expanded the stroller because she was getting a little tight in the first one we had for her. So, and this one is it's shaped a little different. So she can actually lay down the entire time and it's more open so everybody can see her. Mm-hmm. And the other one was kind of closed up, so she would have to pop her head out. But now she lays out and everybody can see her and pet her, and she doesn't have to get in and out as much as she did in the other one. So she lasts a lot longer in the hospital.
Yeah. So is there anything that you have to do for her besides the stroller just to accommodate? Like, do you have to... Like, I don't even know, but, you know, since she was born with it, you know, does she have pain or is there just anything additional that you have to do for her that you don't have to do for the other dogs?
No, there really isn't. She jumps. She stayed with a friend of ours who has one of her sisters, and she said, oh gosh, our bed is kind of high. And I said, She jumps pretty high. And when they brought her back to the house, I said, you know, how was she? Is she okay? And she said she leaped on the bed and she kicked my dogs off the bed and she stole my husband's pillow. So there really isn't anything she doesn't do with it. Can you think of anything? I really can't.
No, I mean, as far as just jumping out of something that's really high, because we do have to really think, you know, because you don't want it to get it injured.
Yeah.
Very hard to adapt then. Mm. But no, just besides jumping out of something, I think that's a little holdback. And as far as like running, she runs. She will not stop running once she gets going. Mm-hmm. It's when she slows down or wants to come in the house. And then that's when you can tell she gets a little bit slow.
Yeah.
So you can't tell. She's got more energy than the other two.
So what was it about her that you thought she would make a good fit as a therapy dog versus your other dogs?
This was actually JD's idea, because when we decided to keep her, he said, you know, we should really make her a therapy dog. He said that would be, and he mentioned children. He said, you know, children that are sick or have issues, and that would, you know, put in their minds that they can, you know, succeed and they can do this. And, you know, she has a disability, but you wouldn't know it. And so that ended up really being his idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's just been sweet from the beginning. And
how was the training?
The training wasn't bad. We went through Alliance of Therapy Dogs, which is what Kathy likes for everybody at MUSC to go through if they can. And the lady who trained us, we went to a long-term care facility that was like a nursing home, but also assisted living. And she was phenomenal. They have a memory care unit and you know, everybody loved to see her. By the time we had to do three visits, and by the time we went to our third visit and they knew we were coming, they were waiting in the lobby for us because they really did love her. But we went to the memory care unit and there were patients in there with, you know, advanced Alzheimer's, and you would walk in and they would just be kind of in a fog and just staring, and they would see her roll up beside their wheelchair and their eyes would light up.
Oh, nice.
It was amazing to see.
Yeah.
It is
kind of just beautiful. The whole idea of, you know, I was talking to someone about this recently, just how special dogs are, you know, because it's, you know, they really just change your day. You can have the worst day ever, come home and your dog, it's sort of like, I'd rather do this. Their inner, it's like they know my one of my dogs, my oldest, she crawled into my lap yesterday because I finally hooked on to the morning show. So I was watching the final episode of season one and I was really into it. And Johan walked in the room and I was just like, if you're going to stay in here, you got to be quiet because I'm watching this show. And so I was really intense, and she doesn't like it when I get intense. So she had crawled all the way into my lap, you know, and stuff. And I finally paused the show and was just like, I'm okay. It's just, it's really good. And I want it to get to the, and then I'm sitting here apologizing to my dog for my energy.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry. I'll calm down. I know it's not that deep. It's fiction, but yeah, they just make everything so much better.
Absolutely.
She's so sweet. I just love it.
She is. I'm telling you.
What you can't, you know, one of the things about Peggy that I just love, when she's giving Lisa her paw, you know, she literally sits like a penguin. She sits on her backside.
Oh, okay.
With both legs up. And she has such balance. It is amazing. Mm-hmm. I was with Peggy on Friday and I came home and I was like, Jax, can you do this? And he was not like a penguin. He was like a weeble. He just kept weaveling around and falling down. So I don't know if that has anything to do with how she's compensating for sitting, you know, without having the left leg. JD,
yes.
Why don't you talk about, because this is so foreign to you, not being in the healthcare system, coming in, you know, as a volunteer, as a newbie. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk to Kimberly more so than me about what you've seen Peggy do for the patients,
absolutely,
and the patient families?
I tell you, it actually, you always remember like the really good ones and the ones I'm going to tell you about are all like really great stories. So we're at the memory care place when we're just training, and there was everybody's elderly, probably, you know, to some mental capacity for aging. So there's this old gentleman sitting in the corner in a wheelchair by himself. And then there's all the ladies playing in different areas. And the guys are kind of just sitting there in their little groups. And the old man was just sitting there and wasn't saying anything. And I asked if he would like a visit. And he looked over and he just looked at me and just started petting the dog. And sat up, put her paw on him, and he's sitting there petting. And he just, like, didn't speak, but you could tell just by his demeanor and how excited he got. And because we were watching it for 15, 20 minutes before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. We've been in a couple people who has had some sort of amputation or getting into that point of that going to happen. And the funny one with this lady is she came in, she goes, "Come here, Peggy." And we're walking down the hall and she said, "I told the girls that I needed to see a dog, and they knew exactly who to come see me. And she came in, and Peggy hopped up there on her butt, and the girl goes, "Let's do it like this," because they both had a thing like this.
Oh, so they wanted to fist bump, elbow bump?
They did a fist bump with their stumps.
Stump bump.
Oh. Like, yeah.
Stump bump.
I just love that. You know, it's funny because years ago when my dog Scout, he's gone now, but when he was diagnosed with cancer, I remember someone telling me, you know, because I was looking at him and I was just like, he looks so healthy and he's just so healthy. And it's just like, I can't believe my dog has cancer. And she was just like, then continue believing that you're, you know, continue treating him like he doesn't have cancer because he doesn't know any better. Mm-hmm. So just let him enjoy his life. And I love that because that's basically what you're doing with your dog, is that you're not allowing a disability to mean that your dog can't be a dog, right? You know, and your dog has so much to contribute. And I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think back years ago, dogs had cancer, or they were born with, you know, missing a limb, even diagnosed with things like diabetes. You know, there was a time when, you know, vets just said, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have done something horrible with Peggy as a newborn puppy. There was no treatment for cancer. You know, and what I like so much is having the opportunity to hone in on the disability and kind of turn that around into a strength and an ability to continue to move forward. So this is our second tripod in the program. We have a diabetic dog that gets insulin twice a day. And I said, how do you check a dog's blood sugar? Because when you think about a human and their fingertips, that's not going to work with a paw. Mm-hmm. And it's the tip of the ear.
Yeah.
And so this individual works at the children's hospital. And so we had a long talk because when he initially told me that it's Alan and Poppy. And when he initially told me that Poppy had diabetes, I had braced myself for, you know, the rest of the story. So I guess we're going to have to stop. And instead, he said, I'd like to find out how we can use Poppy with the pediatric population that's newly diagnosed with diabetes and is afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so from time to time, I'll get an email and there'll be a patient newly diagnosed who is just, and typically, unfortunately, it is preteens and teenagers. So, you know, that's that 13, 14-year-old, and it's really, really hard for them to comprehend that this is happening. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get a call and then I'll forward the information. We'll connect the patient and the dog, and Alan will go in with Poppy. And next thing you know, I'll get a call that the child is really looking at this from a whole different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be able to have people like Lisa and JD who are going to share their dogs with other people. So I commend you on that, because sometimes that's not what most people want to do.
Yeah.
We had Wilbur, the Greyhound, and Wilbur's already crossed the Rainbow Bridge, but we had Wilbur, and, you know, his legs being as long as they were made it very difficult. And he was too tall. There is no such stroller. It's just called a small car that could house Wilbur. So what we did is we got Wilbur a special bed, and he would literally go to the outpatient children's clinic and sit in the middle of this huge lobby area and like an Etch-a-Sketch, just let the kids come to him. Mm-hmm. And so that worked really well. And then when there were children that were diagnosed with cancer that had lost a limb, we got a phone call and we would go ahead and take Wilbur over there to see them. So I think it's just really wonderful. Did you know about National Tripod Day before I called you?
Did not.
No, interesting. Never heard about it.
Nope.
No.
No. And like Kimberly said, there is a there's association. It's a national association that has area groups, and they get together.
Oh.
And they also even trickle down into breed specifics. So you could probably find, you know, golden tripod organizations and clubs. And they just kind of like get together and they do things like at pubs.
Yeah.
Beaches.
Pack walks.
Yeah, pack beaches. Walks, things like that. Okay. And I'm sure they do a ton of stuff on March 3rd.
In a group pack.
Like, oh.
You know, come on. You never been part of a pack, JD? You don't have a posse?
Around me, baby. It was all around me.
You don't have a posse, man?
No. I do. I have pictures with me in one, too. True story.
So to wrap up, you know, I want to have a little bit of fun because, you know, the dog lover and me, you have three dogs. What are the other two dogs' names?
So we have Tucker, who's our 9-year-old male. And then Bailey is Peggy's mom, because we had the litter and she is 6. And then Peggy.
And is Peggy always called Peggy, or does she have a string of nicknames?
Oh. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Whenever she's bad, he goes, uh-oh.
Wait a minute. I thought y'all was saying no, ma'am. She doesn't have any other names.
Oh, yeah, no. We say Peggy Eileen, no ma'am.
What's funny is there is a, it's a reel that was going, it was a trend that was going around where people were doing it with their dogs. And it was just like, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. And it was just like video, little snippets of videos of their dogs doing the various things. And they're like, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. And so that's what I immediately thought of.
How did you ever tell her no?
Oh, I mean, she's a piece of work now.
You can't.
She is a piece of work. She rolls over on her back and then she.
All's forgiven.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. She knows how to work it. We call her Peggle. I call her Peggles too. That's another nickname. Or Pegs. We call her Pegs. Yeah.
I think everybody has. I think Jax is probably his most popular name. Don't laugh. But I call him Jackson Doodle.
Yeah,
I'm like, give me a Jackson Doodle, come here, Jackson Doodle, and but he's ignoring me right now.
You have the on-air sign,
huh?
You have the on-air sign out front.
Yeah, I know, right? Not interested. Well, is there anything you'd like to share with us before we close?
Well, I will say, so I worked in the main hospital, which was the adult, I'd worked in children's and then in PACU with just adults. And now I'm back in the newer children's hospital that they built 4 or 5 years ago. And I work in cardiac prep and recovery, but we have a huge pediatric cardiac unit of children who have to be inpatient because to be at the top of a transplant list, if they need a heart transplant, they have to be inpatient. And so there's one little boy who's been there for a year in April. Mm-hmm. And so they've tried to, you know, give him as much normalcy as possible, mm-hmm. which is tough to do because he's six, I believe. But we always go to
now,
see.
Now, he's one of the last of the three.
Correct. He is.
So, Kimberly, we had three little boys from three entirely different areas of Charleston mm-hmm. that ended up in the children's hospital, and they all needed a heart transplant.
Mm.
So they all ended up being placed in the last three rooms, almost like a wing. And they all became friends.
Aww.
And their parents became friends. And the community rallied around them. That's Do you sweet. Remember, Lisa, when Hall's Chop House, a very, very nice steakhouse, closed their restaurant on a Sunday afternoon and made arrangements for the kids to be ambulanced and their families to have a steak dinner outside of the hospital?
Amazing.
That's awesome.
And two of the little boys have already received their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the one you're talking about is the Lone Ranger. He's the one that's left.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. such a sweet kid. But go ahead.
Yes, he knows though when we come, and I always check to make sure it's okay to go see him, and we go in there, and he's so excited. And mm-hmm. his mom and grandma, I haven't met his dad, but they're just phenomenal with him. And one or the other is there with him. They just kind of take turns. And he goes in the hallway with me every time, and I take her leash and I help him with the stroller, and he wants to push the stroller and he wants to show Peggy around. So we walk around the entire unit, and either his mom or his grandma holds his IV pole. He holds the stroller. I hold the stroller and the leash, and we go. And he just thinks that's the best thing ever. It lights him up.
It is the best thing ever. What are you talking about?
I think whenever I hear stories like that, it's like you're just creating another generation of animal lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I was lucky because I was born a dog lover. My father was a dog lover. So I was born a dog lover. Yeah. But, you know, whenever I hear about people, I was talking to a girlfriend yesterday who talked about she had a friend that had a Weimaraner. And she's like, years and years ago. And she's like, I bet you she would be shocked to know what a crazy dog mom I am today. Because back then she was just like, what is wrong with your dog? And whereas one of my dogs, he's actually my stepson's dog. Well, he's my dog, but he started as my stepson's dog. He's the Husky Golden Mix. And it's so funny to me because whenever my stepson comes home, Apollo knows who he is. He gets so excited to see him, but he is just like he's so much and so much energy. And I laugh because I was just like, remember how I told you you're supposed to research dogs before you go and get them? I was like, you got two breeds mixed together.
So Kimberly calls me one night. Phone rings and I answer and I said, yes. So let me just, the backstory, which everybody has heard, but we're going to tell it again. Kimberly and I met in the late 2011, 2012 timeframe.
Yeah.
Okay. We met because we ended up subscribing to each other's pet blog. And then there used to be a pet blogging conference that occurred every year. And one was in Northern Virginia in 2012. And we were like those two people from the commercial running through the fields in slow motion because we had been talking for almost a year and we'd never met. And to us, for the longest time, we thought we were the only Black pet bloggers mm-hmm. in the world.
Yes.
And so it was like, oh, my God, it's you. It's you.
You're the other one.
Yes, you're the one. You know, we sat in the auditorium for the grand poopah, you know, conference all huddled together like, I found you. But so she called me one night and she said, girl, you're not going to believe this. I mean, it was no hello or anything. And I said, what's going on? What's a Gobarian? I said, I beg your pardon. So I had to kind of help her. And we looked this stuff up. And this was the Husky Shepherd mix. Okay.
Golden Retriever.
It's called a Gobarian.
It's a Gobarian.
Oh. And when she said, what's a Gobarian? I said, in what galaxy? Because it just sounded like something from another planet. But so she's really been just taking this on. And then slowly but surely, this has become her heart dog.
Yeah.
I mean,
I had to call my stepson and say, so I know this was supposed to be temporary, but this is like a year later. And I was just like, you know, if you want him back, I will definitely give him back. I was like, however, and he was just like, no, I want you to keep him. He's happy. And yeah, it's so funny to me because he has a penchant for dark clothing. And as someone who lives with a bunch of dogs, it does not bother me that I'm covered in dog hair. All my friends have dog. I mean, that's just life. I don't notice it anymore. But my stepson comes home and he is trying to leave the house to go hang out with friends without this dog jumping all over him. And I'm just like, I just don't understand the black. I just don't. It's like if you're going to leave with a little piece of Apollo on you. It's just not gonna happen.
Well, I have dog hair on me every day, and it's so interesting. Depending on who I was with the other day when I came home, Lisa said, "Who you been with?" And I said, "Well, you would think that would be coming from Jax."
Yeah.
You know? And so he said, "Whoever you've been with, they all over your pants. You have clothes." And I was like, "I'm going." But, you know, I was, so I don't know if I told you, I'm teaching now. This is bizarre. I am actually teaching a class to the fourth year pediatric dental medical students. Yes.
Right.
Nice. That is exciting.
It blows my mind. So I did it once and I was like, they're not going to call me back. But they call me back. I do it every fall. It's about getting these students to understand the importance of incorporating canine therapy work in what they're doing. And mm-hmm. so the whole concept with MUSC is let us start now. Mm-hmm. And so that they come into their field, understanding that they can incorporate these dogs. But somebody had asked me in the class, you know, we have the little Q&A at the end, and they asked me, about my personal journey and history with dogs. And they were in shock. This is why I didn't think I was going to get called back, because I got caught up and forgot that this was work. I thought I was talking to friends, people who know and love me. So they asked me about how I got into this. And I said, you know, I know that religion is a very tough discussion in the workplace, but in the Bible, it talks about God making, you know, a jackass speak. Hence jackass. I said, I was that person. If you had a dog, I would lie on my mother's health as to why I couldn't come to your house for dinner. It was like, oh God, they have a dog. Oh God, you know. And so for people who knew me before I got Harley, you know, they would have probably bet their entire life's fortune that there's just no way in this world, this life, this earth, that I would have anything to do with animals. So, you know, when I come home and I'm covered in dog hair, or if I'm eating my lunch and I just throw, you know, the sandwich to the side and I'm like, Rocket, where have you been? Nobody can really understand that or understand that it's me. And so for the longest time, I've only had this connection with dogs for 15 years. And I have to use that as the life of Harley, because he was the first dog I ever had. So it's amazing. I tell people all the time, what I'm doing is an advocation. It is truly God showing you non-believers out there that he is real, because I'm telling you, dogs like Peggy, they just gravitate to me. I don't do anything. And Lisa's going, and she understands it, but I adore them. I hear them. I'm not going to tell you that like they speak to me, but I really do. I know it's something very special about them, something so beautiful that I love to be around them.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. I took a volunteer upstairs the other day without a dog because she's doing adult volunteering. And I was a babbling idiot. I couldn't talk right. And nothing. And I just said to her, I said, I know you're wondering how long I've been doing this. I've been doing this a long time, but you don't have a dog. So nothing feels right to me. I had to tell her that. It just doesn't feel right because there's no dog. I need a dog. And she looked at me. She said, I understand. And I thought I know she talked about me. She talked about me that day, that night, and then the next day. But so it's something very special and something unique about the four of us on this particular episode, because no matter what we're doing or what we've chosen to do and the relationships that we have with our animals, we're all connected in kindred spirits because we understand how incredible these creatures are. Mm-hmm. So I applaud you and I thank you for what you've done with Peggy.
When we were at the school last week, and just how you presented to those children, you know, you asked them, does anybody have a dog? Does anybody like dogs? Does anybody not like dogs? Is anybody scared of dogs? And I mm-hmm. thought that was a great way to kind of connect with children who you don't know if they're scared of them. You don't. And they all, most of them were pretty receptive to coming up and petting her. And I think a lot of them. Were-
the only exception was the kid that dove from the, I don't understand this. He was in a chair and he dove from the chair on top of the table when Peggy hopped out of her carriage. And I'm thinking, you were probably better off in the chair, boo. But you went from the chair
like
to the
Spider-Man.
Table. And I'm thinking,
the handicapped dog's not going to catch you.
And you know, I wanted to say, baby, she ain't got but three legs. I mean, it was almost like, where you going? But yeah, you have to do that. I still respect people who are afraid. Too often people who love and have relationships with animals and have been around dogs and comfortable with dogs always want to try to convert people. And I think that that's wrong. I think fear is a personal emotion and experience, and it's something that we all own. And if you're fearful of a dog, then we got to respect the fact that that's real. And I love the other thing, she won't bite. And I'm thinking, you don't know that.
She won't bite.
But today could be her first day.
That teeth, she can bite.
Yep.
Remember when the little girl asked me, she said, I want to pet Peggy, but I mean, is she going to have a moment, turn aggressive and bite me? I wanted to say, possibly, but that's not the right thing. And I said, oh no, baby.
She's going to have a moment.
She's not going to have a moment. It's okay. But that's real. Well, Lisa and JD, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah,
I'm glad we were finally able to connect and get you all to come on.
Absolutely. Our pleasure.
Yes. Appreciate it.
Well,
nice meeting you.
You too. And it was nice seeing you, Kathy. Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Night, night.